Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door, just like a Murillo Crossfield ball. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you win? Only via the app at participating restaurants. 18+, rewards registration required, points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport, powered by fans.
Danilo's free, and he goes to get one.
First time we've seen them attack them, and that's Brandon! Well, that's what I wanted to see Robinson do.
Taylor won, he scores! And the city ground goes ballistic!
He's through here! And in the end, Forrest will say it doesn't matter how you play, as long as you win it.
Yeah!
Hello, welcome back to Red Side of the Trent here in the afternoon as we're a little bit late because we was waiting for Reese to come, who could not wait to celebrate a win as Forest ran out 3-1 winners over Fulham thanks to goals from Callum Hudson-Odoi, Chris Wood and Morgan Gibbs-White. Here to celebrate and talk about that win are the usual set of people. I'm always joined by Christian Brown, Reese Lane and Lee Clark. Fellas, hope you're all well. We're going to get straight into it. Then Christian, let's look at the team. As always, no Divock Origi, which you'll be pleasantly surprised, probably pleased about. So should I say, Elanga, Danilo, and Ndo come in for Felipe, as mentioned, Divock Origi and Ibrahim Sangare. More changes to the starting lineup. What did you make of that side? Was you happy, sad, what?
Happy mostly. Again, Origi not being in the starting 11 as it was what we'd all craved and wanted for. The experiment hadn't worked. We knew it hadn't worked. Stevie Wonder could have told you it hadn't worked, but apparently Nuno couldn't until yesterday. But so that immediately added fluidity. We were playing our best team. That was good. Was pleased to see what Danilo come in as well. Again, I think we've established now it has to be one of Yates or Sangare and one of Danilo or Dominguez. Well, I was a little surprised not to see Dominguez start, just purely because of how bad Yates was on Saturday. But that was a little worry of mine. But I was worried it was going to be like, you know, a quite a technical game and, you know, he would have been exposed very quickly. But thankfully, that didn't prove to be the case at all. And actually, it was more blood and fun than I expected, which actually played a lot to Yates' skill set. So, yeah, on the whole, it was definitely an improvement. I felt a lot more confident seeing that side than the one on Saturday, for example.
Well, before we get into the action, actually, we need to tip our hats off to the guys of Forza Garibaldi and everyone involved, all the volunteers that helped with that display. I mean, I was not expecting to see a FIFA-esque tifo of Morgan Gibbs-White with his fingers in his ears come up, and obviously the message from the supporters of, like, let's just stop ignoring it. Let's ignore all of us lot, basically, on social media and get to the football. And bloody hell, they deliver from the off, Reese. Let's talk about the build up to the first goal, where I think Morgan Gibbs-White made a poor pass into Chris Wood's into his feet, but made up for it for the one after with that ball to Callum Hudson-Odoi. Let's talk through the first goal.
Yeah, the perfect start, because, you know, on Saturday we started sluggishly and last night we started pretty quickly, didn't we? Callum Hudson-Odoi had the beating of Tete all night. He ran him absolutely ragged, I thought. Tete just could not keep up with him. And when he went through, you kind of thought the chance had gone because he cut it back and you thought, well, that was kind of it and it's going to come to nothing. But fair play to Callum. He's kept it alive and he's placed it with power into the bottom corner. So it was the perfect start. And I'm sure he'll be a little bit disappointed he didn't get a second quickly after as well. But he was tremendous last night, Hudson-Odoi. As I said, he ran Tete absolutely ragged, to be honest. I'm surprised Silva didn't maybe drag Tete off when he made them three changes.
I mean, I was more surprised about how easy Morgan Gibbs-White got away from João Pelinho. He looked like he was running through quicksand at the time as well.
Yeah, well, he really, I mean, last season he was excellent at our place, Pelinho. And last night, he didn't even know he was playing, let's be honest.
No, he was proper pedestrian. I mean, you've kind of beat me to the punch of that second chance he had as well, Reece, where, Gibbs-White, Christian, getting away from Tosin Adarabayo so easily and then playing that ball, I kind of just felt like it was going to be another easy chance, but Bird Leno made quite a good save in the end of it. But I just thought Hudson-Odoi could have maybe like got it onto his left foot rather than back onto his right. I don't know what you think.
Yeah, I thought he probably should have started earlier. I mean, out of all the chances we spurned in the first half and towards the end of the game, to be fair, with the chances we had, so I did think that was at a time. I remember saying like, "Oh, he's had to score that, he had to score that." But then we actually wasted better chances than that, which is quite telling of how we played in the night. I agree with you. I think he should have taken it a lot quicker. As soon as he was played in, really, I think he could take that first time. And unfortunately, by checking in, it sort of allows Leno to sort of shut the angle right down and also get defenders back to make the shot even harder. So, yeah, that was a little bit of a shame. But, you know, just the life of a Forest fan, isn't it? You just can't be confident. Like, you're seeing all these chances go begging. You're like, oh, no. Like, doesn't matter what position you get to. But, yeah, that was definitely a missed opportunity.
Well, sticking with you, but quickly after that, I mean, where the hell did that come from with Chris Wood? I didn't even know he had that in his locker.
I mean, it's maybe less of a glamorous assist for Murillo as opposed to the one he got for Newcastle for Woods. But I was just like, wow. I mean, as soon as he got the ball, I was just like screaming, like because Elanga obviously ran through into the hole. I was like, just play Elanga through, play Elanga through. And when he shot, I was like, what? Oh, he's in. So you saw the replay, the highlights. Like, didn't realize how like well placed that finish was from Woods. It was ridiculous. Yeah, I mean, we're running out of superlatives for Chris Wood, aren't we? I mean, bear in mind, like, it seems that he took Reece's disgrace comments personally, and ever since then, it's just gone on to be like prime Van Persie, basically, for Forest. And but much to our benefit. I mean, I think his record now is what. 8-9-11, I think it is now. I think something
eight and nine games he scored.
Yeah, 43% phenomenal.
43% conversion rate, which is the highest in the league.
Yeah, so we all know as well. If you've got a striker that can score 10 plus goals in the league, you've got a great chance of staying up in this division. And it looks like we found that with we've had one last season with Taiwo. Obviously, I maintain had a one. He not been as injured as he had been this season. He probably gets 10 again. But to get that from Woods, who we all thought like anything between 5 and 7 would have been a great return for him, to be on 11 and ahead of people like Darwin Nunes, for example, is incredible. And yeah, that was a brilliant, brilliant strike from him last night.
Just the fact that he's taken the mantelpiece of like being that number 9 for us and leading the line, I think it's just credit to him for taking the opportunity, really. And I think he's had such a turnaround. I mean, we could do a pod on like turnaround seasons, people for like, I don't know, Danny Fox and, I mean, Nico Williams this season.
Williams be a big one, yeah.
Absolutely. Yates has turned it around in some capacity. I know we've all have our gripes with him. But just before Fulham hit the panic button, Lee, Anthony Langer hits the post with a great one too with Morgan Gibbs-White. I mean, we were playing some unbelievable football after we went 2-0 up. It was like the roles were reversed and Fulham were the team that were potentially going down this season, and we were in their spot where we looked like we were on the beach and having a great time. Some scintillating football. It was like Brazil.
Yeah, it was good. It was that particular move just deserved a goal, didn't it? It was it was amazing. It was just something we've not seen. It was like you talk about the handbrake coming off under Nuno in recent weeks, and that whole move just epitomised it. Yeah, it was weird because where we sat, it kind of looked like Alanga had just flashed it, you know, quite wide, very wide. But obviously, seeing it on the highlights, he does clip the post. So I feel a bit sorry for Alanga because same with the Origi one, other than put it in the net, I don't think he did a lot wrong. I think with Alanga, he's had a couple like that in recent weeks. I think he's in that sort of moment at the minute where he just needs one to hit the back of the net. However means necessary and get going again. Because not that he's short of confidence. I don't think he's that sort of player. I think he's always confident in his own ability. But I just think he needs a goal. He just needs one to rifle in, and I think he'll go on a little run again, much like Hudson-Odoi has done when he's scored. So, yeah, it was, like I say, it looked a bit deceiving, if you like, at the time. But, yeah, it was just a great move. It was nice to see us playing like that. And I think when chances are missed, but you're playing like that, I think you saw from the reaction, there was no kind of, if that had been nil-nil and he puts that wide, there's probably a few more moans and groans. So yeah, it was really nice to see.
Yeah. Reece, it's a bit of a compliment when Fulham drag three players off at 33 minutes in Alex Iwobi, Harry Wilson and Sasa Lukic for Willian, Tom Kearney and Adama Traore. What does that say to you when an opposition team does that?
It just tells me that they've got a manager who's brave enough to do it. If it's not working, why wait? If you think it's clearly not working, why wait till half time and think, God, this could be 5-0 at half time, and it could have been. I guess at 3-0 with our frailties, you only have to look back to last season when Fulham scored 3 and 8 minutes. Marcus Hill would probably thought, well, if we get one back just before the stroke at half time, it's game on again, and he would have been right, because as we'll come on to, it did look like it was going to be game on again at the start of the second half. But no, it was a compliment to us because we was absolutely shredding through Fulham. I said to you half time, Adam, that's the best, especially the first 25 minutes. That's the best I've seen us play since we've come up. We just murdered them. They just couldn't get near us, could they? And, you know, that's why I made the change. And to be fair to us and to them, when they did make the changes, they looked a lot more composed on the ball. They got Kearney on the ball. Obviously, Willian, I know he's knocking on now, but he's played at the highest level possible. So the positive for us was that we actually got to half-time keeping the 2-0 at a time and then adding another, which we fully deserved. And that was a cherry on the top, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I kind of feel bad for Lee now. I'm not giving him a goal to talk about. But Christian, Gibbs White kind of capped off the TIFO, the first assist with a goal of his own. And God, it looked so easy. I couldn't believe it, how easy it was.
Yeah, we just like walked right through them, didn't we, really? I mean, it was timely as well, because I felt that Fulham, after those changes, and Reece was very right, it was very brave from Marco Silva, and you can see why, like, our owners got on very well with Silva at Olympiacos, and they both see things the same way. They're very much like, I remember reading that they're pretty much like a very happy marriage, and you know, I think, you know, he left to go to the Premier League or something. But, yeah, it was... They were starting to gain more of a foothold. I felt Willian especially was starting to pull a lot of strings and look very dangerous. It was interesting seeing quite a few Fulham fans this morning say that they thought that Kearney was really poor, because I thought Kearney was causing us a lot of problems in terms of his passing and stuff like that. And obviously, you know, with his family being all Forest fans and him himself, I think he was at Wembley, wasn't he, with his dad for the playoff final. So he would have had like a point to prove. But no, it was just as they started to gain momentum, that was a real sort of sucker punch, really, which we've been so guilty of not doing. Because, like, as we know full well, like, in this league, especially, when you get chances, you have to take them. You can't, you know, I mean, we saw with Fulham at the weekend, they're 3-1 down and plucked the draw out of nowhere. Like, it's very, you've got, once you're on top, you've got to make it count. And, like, we did, thankfully, we did. It was lovely, lovely interplay between Nilolo and Gibbs White. And Gibbs White, in that position, was just so, so calm. And, you know, it's a beautiful finish. But, like, it's just so good to have Gibbs White actually in the box to take a shot, because more often than not, he's getting them outside the box. And, like, as we all know, you're much more likely to score inside than out. So it was really nice to have him back in that position. I think the last time would have been Villa, and he scored with the one chance he had inside the box. So, it was really good. It was really, really nice and pleasing football to see. And yeah, as soon as Danilo put that pass through, I just didn't have any doubt he was going to miss. And yeah, it was the perfect time to score, as well, just before half time, just to sort of like destabilize that momentum they'd started to build up.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad Danilo didn't listen to the crowd of shoot, and he just outside the boot, nice pass in, great finish. Michael in the chat just said he heard a conversation about Forest had to work so hard to score goals while other teams seem to get easy ones against us, and this is the game that it reversed, and I really, really believe that, because God, it looked like we was an established Premier League side for a change. Forest do Forest things, Lee. Start of the second half, and we concede a couple of corners. I mean, the first one, I don't know how we don't clear that anyway. Pereira P-rolled it along the floor, and Aina's put it into, like, he's tried to murder a child, I think, in the Lower Bridgeford, that clearance. And then the next one, they get bang on the money and Tosin. I don't know why he's been marked by more Gibbs White. That's the biggest mismatch I've ever seen.
Yeah, nail on the head. I can't give you an answer either. I don't know why he was. It all just looks a bit messy, I think, when we try and defend set pieces. I just don't think you can ever really pinpoint who's supposed to be marking who. What is it now? 20 goals conceded from set pieces?
Yeah, it's a joke.
2021, it's just ridiculous, isn't it? I mean, if you are going to concede more, though, I'd rather it be when we've got 3 goals on the board.
yeah.
What I would say is, not to dwell on, the positives are always few and far between in the Premier League for us, aren't they? So not to go too negative, what I would say is, I think a Forest team maybe 6-7 weeks ago, maybe not that long, probably would have crumbled and it'd have been 3-3 in no time. I think knowing that Fulham would have been acutely aware that they scored, I think it was actually 3 in 6 minutes last year they scored. They'd have been well aware of that. A lot of the same players played. And I think a Forest team from maybe a few weeks ago would have succumbed and maybe found themselves really up against it. But we did dig deep. Interestingly, a mate of mine actually messaged me when, obviously, again, because I'm at the other end of the ground.
You get signal in the ground?
No, yeah. I've moved to 3 recently and not EE. Other network providers are available, but... but yeah, since I moved on to 3, I get signal in the ground. So I got a message on a WhatsApp group and it said it was an interesting one from your keeper. He seemed to dive but didn't really go anywhere. And I didn't really get the notion, and then I've watched it back and it is an interesting shout. I mean, if you watch it back, he does kind of, when I saw it, it looked as though he was full stretch and didn't really get anywhere near it. It was a good header. But it does seem to kind of, it's almost like he's not expecting him to get the header away. I'm not for 1 minute blaming the keeper, but it just looks a bit strange, that's all. But yeah, I think it was, like I said at the top of my answer, it's nice to concede a set piece almost when we've actually got 3 goals on the board and it is a little bit more room for manoeuvre. But yeah, it's something we've seriously got to look to rectify, isn't it?
Well, yeah, because it gave Fulham a lot of impetus to actually push on. I mean, they controlled the second half. We can't really deny that. I think we had 37% possession. But 20 goals, we've conceded 53. So it's nearly half of our goals we've conceded from set pieces. Imagine if we'd actually just fix that little chink and you concede maybe, a quarter of that, if not to half of it, or whatever, then you can see 5 to 10. It's just such a different story for our season, I find. We still look to fret on the break, Reese. Couple of chances where Hudson-Odoi maybe should have really took the shot on or whatever. Yates spooned one over the bar, and Nico Williams at the crossbar. I mean, it was a hectic first 15 minutes, to say the least. It was like a cup tie at times.
Yeah, I mean, when Adebayo scored, he was the one who scored first last year for them, wasn't he, ours as well? So you just thought, oh, here we bleeding go again. And then you're literally thinking to yourself, we've been in that much cruise control first half. How has it kind of come to this? But then you realise we are watching Nottingham Forest after all. So, yeah, I think... the positive for us then was the fact that we didn't concede quickly again, because that would have been a very Forest thing to do. And then it would have been, interesting. And fair play to the team, because that, to use the boxing analogy, that is when you've got a bite down on your gum shield and it's kind of your mentality more than, doing the right things, putting yourself in front of shots, which is like what Ryan Yates is perfect for. That second half last night, once they scored, was perfect for someone like Ryan Yates. So, yeah, it was frantic, and you kind of felt if we could get a fourth, and that would be it again. But why it was 3-1, you always thought this is not far off being a game again. And it, to be fair, it was, despite the fact that was the only goal of the second half, it was quite an entertaining second half. To be fair, I was surprised it did finish 3-1. My friend who came with me last night was delighted because he had 3-1 at 14-1. So
fair enough.
So he was delighted. But no, fair play to us because, like the lads have just said, how many times would Forest go under last night? And we didn't for ones. You know, God, there was some scary moments. You know, Sells made a great save from Adebayo again, I believe, and they hit the crossbar. And unfortunately, their crossing was a bit off because that is what Adama Traore is, isn't he? He's just full of pace, but no end product. So, yeah, just nice to weather a tiny bit of a storm and get the job done.
Yeah, I mean, Christian, I did want to talk to you about Sells' impact, actually. He's made a couple of good saves last couple of games where he's earned his points, really. The one where he makes the save from Willian's free kick on the angle of the box, I thought was actually goes quite under the radar. And his distribution was really good, and coming out for crosses, he was really good as well. So I want you to talk about that. And then also Divock Origi's absolute howler of a miss, because I'm sure you would like to have at least a little go at him for this game.
Like I said before, like if I'm ever, for whatever reason, I'm sure some Forest fans will probably want me tried and sentenced to death for saying things about Ryan Yates and Nico Williams in the past. But if I get to choose the shooting squad, I'm picking Divock Origi because he's just absolutely hopeless in front of goal. It's just infuriating. Like, again, how have you not hit the target from there? Seriously. Like, just at least get a corner from something, man. That was awful. But no, going on to the better point at hand, Sells has been brilliant. And I think that he's just been exactly what we needed. Just that steadying, calming influence at the back who just puts the defence at ease. The back, you know, like the back four, they don't look terrified anymore because they haven't got Turner behind. So they know they can't trust or anything like that. They know that, you know, they're in decent hands. And as we're starting to see now, they know that if they are, do get caught out. I mean, the one time Adama actually put a good ball in, forced that header, forced that save from him, sorry. They know that he's likely to be on hand to sort of prevent a goal. And that hasn't been there all season. So, you know, we basically played, you know, like, it's typical that the season we got promoted, we gave the league, what, a 7-game head start. This season, we've given the bottom three, what's it, a 17-18 game head start by playing Turner for half the season. So, like, it makes such a... I honestly think with Sells in goal, we'd be at least 6 to 8 points better off. I really do think that. And it's just so, so frustrating that we've done this to ourselves again. And, like, we just can't do anything the easy way, can we? Like, all we wanted was to finish, like, 13th on about 34 points at this stage. We don't care about... Oh, we just think about, like, next season already. But, no, obviously, Forest have to do Forest things. But
yeah, I mean... Yeah. What I did find funny is, although Matt Turner has been a walking point deduction, it was quite funny that he had some housery of him last night throwing the ball on the pitch to delay Fulham taking a quick throw in or whatever, and he managed to get a yellow card. And I think some people have even had, like, Areola as their number one keeper, and he's now injured for West Ham.
He got minus one, didn't he?
Minus one as didn't even play, like, which is absolutely hilarious in itself. But yeah, I thought... Great end to the game. I thought, I don't know about yourself recently, but I thought atmosphere was right up there. I think the efforts from the Forza guys and everything else. And I think, like, fans have now kind of come to realise that if they don't like the manager, if they like the manager, the players or whatever, that doesn't matter at this moment in time. Lee, I don't know what your thoughts were. I mean, I can barely talk. I'm shouting that much.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things, though, isn't it? I think the players have a responsibility to get us shouting and cheering, don't they? I think, I know that sounds it's a romantic notion that that clubs kind of go and watch their team and they're going to sing for 90 minutes. But let's face it, it doesn't always work like that. There's lots of so-called bigger clubs where it doesn't work like that, where if it's going wrong, there's moaning, there's groaning. Forest aren't unique in that sense. And it's just that given that we're on a run where we've not been able to buy a win, it was always going to be up to the players last night to give us something to you know, to really get behind. And I think when you score twice in the first 20 minutes, then there's absolutely no excuse for the atmosphere to go flat. I think knowing what the atmosphere has been like, it'd have been interesting if they'd have got it back to 2-1 instead of 3-1. But yeah, it's always nice to hear when I think we have got one of the better, just because of where our ground's situated and all that sort of stuff, having kind of four stands that are all kind of different shapes and sizes, it you know, neutrals tend to like, you know, they tend to buzz off the atmosphere at the City Ground. So it is always nice when it's like that. So hopefully we can keep scoring twice in 20 minutes and keep the place rocking.
Well, I hope Fulham feel good about themselves when they mocked our walk to the ground, as they put on their social medias. I mean, I did see that. I was like, you cheeky buggers. But just before we get into some slept on it thoughts, because I do think this might be a thing that will crop up a lot, I did want to find out who you all thought was man of the match if it wasn't Morgan Gibbs-White last night. Reese, I'll start with yourself.
I mean, this is a great discussion. I've seen somebody put it on Twitter, the fact that there's so many going to be different shouts, and I'm sure there will be between us now, for man of the match is what you want, because you can't be relying on one or two outstanding players. I mean, I thought everybody was a 7 out of 10 or above last night. But for me, the man of the match, I would give to Danilo. I thought he was excellent. Obviously, assisted Gibbs-White for his goal. And to say he's not, he's been kind of in and out of the team, Ante, and he's always a bit inconsistent, I guess, Danilo. I thought he was excellent last night. And like, I think it was either you or Christian said earlier, Adam, I think we've, and I know Alex Oakes, a friend of the pod, put on Twitter as well, we're at a stage now where it kind of has to be Yates or Sangare, and then the other midfielder is Dominguez or Danilo, because they bring the energy. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't mind Dominguez and Danilo together, because they're all around energy, aren't they? And but I think we realised that last night. So yeah, Danilo man of the match for me. But you could, there's a handful you could have chosen. You know, like you say, Gibbs-White was sensational, wasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, I've got a question about that topic of choice, the central midfield thing. Someone did actually message us in our inbox and say, like, I wish you'd carried on the argument of the midfield discussion from last week. But we have got, like, progress through the show as well at the same time. Christian, who was your shout?
The four I picked out were Gibbs-White, Danilo, Aina and Hudson-Odoi. My four, so I'm going to go for Hudson-Odoi just to separate it a little bit. But I thought, yeah, just again, like he's just, I think he's bounced back so well, like for £3 million. I mean, come on, like it just makes me laugh that, you know, they've got fans lauding him now, and like, you know, it's the same fans that were absolutely hammering him in the first half of the season because he wasn't scoring every week. It's just so funny how fickle football can be at times. But I just thought, you know, for that looked like, he looked like a player in full confidence of his ability in himself. They didn't look, I know at times, obviously, he might have been a little sort of like tentative with his injuries and whatever else, and like whether he can get back up to the speed of the league and whatnot. But he looked someone just assured last night, and he was so, Tete is no slouch, and he was just getting rinsed every single time by Hudson-Odoi. Like whether he was in behind him or not, he was just getting past him. And yeah, just to have someone that explosive is a huge asset to Forest. I thought he took his goal really well. Unlucky not to get a second one. Again, maybe a bit more composure probably does get a second one, but it was just his passing as well. Like the amount of times he'd cut inside and just like, just finds, like if there was, Wood was marked in the box, for example, he just switched the play so quickly and just find feet every time. It was a really, really good night for Hudson-Odoi last night. And yeah, I just hope his injury isn't too severe, because obviously he had to come off, didn't he, about 20 to go. So I hope, fingers crossed, that's just fatigue and nothing else, because he's going to be really important if we stay up.
Yeah, I mean, he scored now 5 goals for us, more than he has at Chelsea. So that's good. Just, I think he just needs to add some more assists, which I'm sure will come in time. Lee, who, anyone else? Or has everyone stolen your thunder?
Yeah, I'll keep it short. Danilo, I've got to say, Danilo, I think that's the best performance we've seen from him in a Forest shirt, to be fair. I'll go with an honourable mention that seems to be slipping under the radar. And he seems to slip under the radar every time he plays, I think, to be fair. And that's Omar Bamidele.
I don't think
he put a foot wrong. I think it's very rare he puts a foot wrong. And I think as a youngster, I would actually stick with him for the rest of the season now, just purely because he's young, he's going to learn. And the only way he's going to learn is by being thrown into this environment. So yeah, I think that said, Bolly's never fit, is he? I think if Bolly was always fit, you'd pin your hat on him. But I think because he's not, I think kind of, yeah, go with him. He's very steady. He can pass out from the back. He led things away. And I just thought he was, you know, really neat and tidy last night.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll get to some Snaps on It thoughts. I'm sure most of these names will crop up now anyway.
Red Side of the Trent. Slept on It thoughts.
So starting off with the earliest one, which was from Gary Marriott. What a first half of football. Atmosphere was electric and some superb goals. Second half dug in and held our own. That is the performance we've all been craving for. Hopefully the lads keep it up with our last seven cup finals. Clogger NFFC. Anyone else struggle to sleep after a night match or just saddos like me? No, I've watched the highlights about 10 times, so we're all there. Jerry Pritchard, outstanding first half, beautiful to watch. Gibbs White was simply sensational, but others chipped in with quality. Resilient second half, bit nervy on crosses, but we held firm. Huge win, buzzing. Yummy Bear, what a result. First half, we were unreal. Pressing, slick interchanges, energy, could have been 5-0. Murillo is an absolute beast, as well as him. And Andy O was top draw for second half. Craig Danilo, absolute beast mode. Premier Elliot, that's more like it. I've missed the dynamism of Danilo. Keep up the good work on the podcast. Today's fact is that they're a professional footballer called Naughty Naughty, and he's never been sent off. keep them coming, Elliot. They're very amusing. Maybe we'll get a segment of some sort. Sarah, Emma, Morgan Gibbs White, absolutely awesome tonight, along with a few others. Shout out to Danilo, who seems to love April. Yep, I was going to bring that up, actually. We needed that win, and one of the best performances under Nuno, close to Newcastle Boxing Day. Joe Weisel, that's the best 11. Discussion, that is. Red Zeppelin, upgrade for me would be Yates off, Toffolo on. Murillo, captain, midfield, just in front of defence. Williams on set pieces, corners to allow Morgan Gibbs White floating for those loose balls. I'm not sure about that one. Paul Sharkey, Callum, man of match. Also like to have Nico push forward and Montiel come on for Wood in injury time. Capenosity, better. Who knew that pressing, playing and passing forward could yield results? If Carlsberg did first halves, if Bud Light did second halves. Tom Newton, when you start the right foot with high intensity and make opponents worry about you, this is what happens. We all know the same intensity levels wouldn't be matched second half, but Forest remains solid. Morgan Gibbs White, outstanding. Murillo and Andy O is the partnership. Do not change. Carl Booth, who'd have thought, play your best wingers from the start. You score three goals. Funny old game, isn't it? Sensational first half. Gibbs White, immense throughout. Wood on fire. Sells, Banks-esque save from second half. Topped it for me. Callum Hudson-Odoi, absolute bargain. And last of all, no means least, Sammy Slack. First half was like watching Brazil. Every single one of them were class. Still woeful at defending dead balls, though. Man of the match for me is Morgan Gibbs White. Just for the first half alone, about seven of them could have had it. Sells is starting to become a favourite of mine, you Reds. Thank you very much for everyone getting involved, as ever, because we get so many. And it's good to have lots on when we actually win rather than when we lose. So that's good.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on McDonald's app at participating restaurants. 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Quick question before I get into player performances. This is from Reese 2.0, who came on the pod the other week. He says, can he please ask the question of how important they felt Danilo was to our team? Because I'm sure he's started in every game we've won this season, which what did come out from a lot of people I saw. Christian, I'll start with yourself on that one.
It varies. It depends what Danilo turns up. because
it is.
The main issue we've had this season is that, like, I mean, I think the perfect example would have been actually Newcastle, because the first half at Newcastle, Danilo was terrible. And in the second half, he was brilliant. And it's just like, obviously, with young players, you're going to get that. You're going to get inconsistent patches with players. And that's maybe the thing. I think, like, you know, it's... And then you get other games like United as well, for example, where Danilo, in both games against United at home this season, Danilo was absolutely outstanding. But then, like you said, you get other ones where he just sort of seems to drift and lose focus and gives the ball away a bit too cheaply. And then he puts pressure on the back foot. And yeah, like I said, he is young. He's not the finished article yet. I think the finished Danilo is going to be an incredibly gifted top flight footballer, probably one that exceeds where we want to be, because I do think he has it in his locker. There's a reason why Arsenal were so keen on him before we signed him. And there's no reason why he can't get to those heights once he sort of, like, irons out the consistency aspect of his game. But yeah, there's no denying, like, he's like a very complete midfielder, I think, for someone so young. I think he offers a lot going forward. We've seen with the goals that he can score when he gets into attacking positions, he more often than not comes up trumps. We saw last night a different side to his game where he's very defensive at times, just getting his ball in the way, like just like blocking, cutting about the passing lanes or whatever else. But yeah, his distribution's always been good. He's always had that wonderful left foot. So it's just one we have to be very patient with and persist with as and when. But in terms of his importance to the team, I'd say, yeah, very important. Like, because, you know, his ceiling is sky high, and it's very exciting to have a player of that ability at Nottingham Forest.
Yeah. Lee, I'd be interested to see his heat map. I'm not sure about yourself, because I thought he was absolutely everywhere last night, didn't he, Lo?
It wouldn't surprise me if he was still running around the pitch now. I think that's the thing with... the thing that impressed me most about him last night was his work rate. And he was actually calm and collected with his work rate as well. I think, as Forest supporters, we have a notion to praise players who simply run. However, there is an art to knowing where to run, when to run, and, you know, just use a football brain with it. And I think Danilo did that very well last night. Yeah, like, I can't disagree with anything that Christian's just said, really. That first half at Newcastle, I always remember. I think I was absolutely lynching him in our WhatsApp group during that first half, because it was like he had his boots on the wrong feet. But yeah, I mean, like I've just said about Omar Bamadele, he's a young player. So you're going to get performances like that. You're going to get little moments like that. But one thing we do get with Danilo is when it's good, it's really good. So, like I say, I think he's kind of, he's got the shirt now, and I think it's his to lose. Yeah, the challenge for Danilo is replicating last night on a consistent basis. And I suppose that's the challenge for any young player who's, you know, trying to make their way in men's football.
Mm. Reese, last of all, but no means least, I'd like your opinion. I also, like, I've got an added question, which is still obviously related to it, but do you think it, like, kind of helps Murillo almost behind him, because they've obviously got that connection, but Murillo can make them, like, more penetrative passes, and Danilo can kind of then, like, almost feed as the second man to, like, pick up then, like, the layoff sort of thing. I don't know if that makes any sense, but you know what I mean, I think.
Yeah, well, I mean, first of all, I agree with both Christian and Lee. For young players, what you're kind of striving for is consistency. It's clear to see Danilo's got talent. We say that with Morgan Gibbs-White, don't we? We say every week he plays really well, but it's just getting them numbers for him, goals and assists, etc., which obviously he did last night. But yeah, so he's won every game, and so every game Nuno's won, Danilo's started into, that's the stat. So four games.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, I think so. Because I don't think he started against Villa, didn't he?
No, I'm not sure. Villa. I can't remember.
So I think it's the four under Nuno. So yeah, I mean, it's a string to his bow, isn't it? And like Lee's just said, it's probably his shirt to lose now. But Nuno, to be fair, has chopped and changed. So we will see, with obviously a different style of opposition on Sunday, where we're probably not going to have much of the ball, and we're kind of going to have to get out and counter attack, aren't we? So we'll see on that sense. But no, I like Danilo. It's just obviously, like we just said, getting that consistency. And on your point, Adam, I don't know. I'm sure it's always nice, I guess, for players who come from Latin America, who come from a lovely sunny country, when it's drizzling with rain like it was last night, to have somebody who's from their native country behind them feeling the exact same. So, yeah, I'm sure there's, you know, you look, I'd say, mostly towards probably the language, wouldn't you? You know, the language barrier sometimes can be evident in football. So to have someone who speaks fluent Portuguese behind him, I guess maybe something, a small marginal gain. But hopefully, you know, we can see he can keep his shirt in 11, provide some consistent performances, which he did, to be fair, at the back end of last season, help to stay up.
Mm. Some green shoots on FIFA, you know, the chemistry lines, or whatever you call them. Get them up. But yeah.
And he was excellent at Brentford as well, which I know we lost that game, and he started, scored that wonder goal, didn't he, before we completely collapsed. So, yeah, good.
Yeah. Well, we're going to get to some player performance. I've actually crossed Danilo out because we've spoke about him so much. But Christian, I'm going to start with yourself. I mean, the bloke has had so much media coverage in the last 12 hours or so. So we've got to continue it, I guess. Morgan Gibbs-White, I thought it was his best performance of the season. Probably his best performance at number 10 for us, I'd say. Maybe the Leicester game might be about the same. But yeah, I thought he was excellent.
Southampton last season as well. He got goal and assist, didn't he?
It's this time of year again as well for him, isn't it?
All these players coming alive in April.
Like, four goal contributions in his last three games.
We're going to become that team, aren't we? They just sort of like, like defrost at April time and start just like breezing all concerns away, aren't we?
Thawing out during the late winter.
Yeah, basically. No, he was absolutely phenomenal last night, Gibbs-White. I mean, that was a 10 out of 10 performance. It really seemed like as if he was genuinely moved by that sort of tifo that we gave him. And yeah, it was like, it was like watching Michael Jordan, The Last Dance. He's sort of just like, right, that's it now. He's not turned up. But no, he was so, so good last night. And it's performances like that, which sort of like, that's why, like, I always find these people who sort of moan about like being in the Premier League and how tough it is and this, that and the other, and how the journey's better than the destination, all this complete and utter nonsense. And it's like, this is a destination. Destination is being able to see people like Morgan Gibbs-White play football for Nottingham Forest. You can make a very good argument he's the best player of that since Brian Roy. Like, and, you know, that's before I started watching him properly. He's definitely the best player I've seen in the Forest shirt. Mm-hmm. And, like, last night sort of prove it. Like, this is the reality of Premier League football. You get to have these footballers playing for your club, and it's so, so good when it comes off. And last night was a perfect example. He ran the show last night. That was an England-worthy performance from him last night. Like, he was so, so good. And, like, that's also primarily why I'd rather he stayed up in the 10 role rather than be shunted deeper. But, he was just magical. Absolutely magical to watch last night. And, like, I just pray that we can keep him at City Ground for many, many years to come, because we are so, so lucky to have a player that good at our disposal. We really are.
I think what I liked about his performance last night was, I know he was playing in the 10, but he would come a bit deeper to come and get on the ball. There was a point where I think he got the ball on the right-hand touchline and then kind of come back, and he was almost in like central defensive midfield, and he got an attack away and then he's on the move. I think that's why I like him to do a little bit more, a bit more variety in his game for me. And I think then you get more out of him in that sense, because he gets on the ball a lot more. Lee, you already touched upon him earlier, and I completely agree. This player's gone completely under the radar every time he plays, but I just want a bit more of an extension on what you said about and Andy O, as I don't think many fans will be able to pronounce Amabamadile. I mean, we've kind of mastered it over time.
Yeah, I don't know what else to say. I just think basically he's what's most kind of impressive since he came in is that he's had to wait so long to grasp his chance. And I think it would have kind of been easy for him to come in and look really rusty and kind of maybe not be up for it. But he's kind of thought, do you know what? I don't want to be in that place again where I'm watching in the stands while everyone else is having a game. I thought last night was always going to be a tricky test for him. Obviously, there was the Liverpool game as well, wasn't it? Where he was pretty impressive in that game as well, to be fair, up against a quality opposition like that. Again, another player who we've managed to sign. Our recruitment gets bashed a lot, doesn't it? But I sometimes think it's a bit of a lazy assumption to just bash our recruitment as a whole. Yeah, we've signed it. We've spent a lot of money on kind of waste, if you like, that's had zero or little impact. Of course we have. But to say our whole recruitment's pretty much gash, for want of an proper expression, is a bit lazy, I think, because you look at someone like Omar Bamadile, who's cost, what, 11 million, 12 million? probably a few add-ons in there. It's absolutely nothing. If push comes to shove and we have to sell him, you're at least going to get your money back. And I just think already he looks like he's the sort of player that within a few months has probably put a little bit of profit on his resale value. So, yeah, I think more of those signings and less of the Wang Wee Joes of the world, I guess.
It's actually, sorry to jump in, very good point about recruitment. I think I saw someone on Twitter post a list out earlier. The only two permanent signings that haven't worked for Forest this season are Sells and Lacodemus. Sorry, not Sells. Turner and Lacodemus, the only two that haven't worked out. Like, and obviously, assuming Sangare still, like, I haven't people seen enough of him really to make a firm judge. But all the other ones we made, like Aina, Alanga, Hudson-Odoi, Omar Mamadele, like Murillo, Sells, like all these players, like Woods technically counts as a permanent signing for this season as well. Like all these signings have made a huge, huge difference for our season. And like, but obviously people will still use the whole, oh, Forest signed 150 players, ha ha ha, as like a stick to beat us with. They won't actually see that, but more for them. Like if that was Brighton that signed Danilo or Murillo or Aina, like yeah, if it was Brighton who signed Aina and Murillo for what, 12 million, or and throw Andy Owen as well and say 25 all in. Like they'd be seen as like, oh look, they've done it again. They're geniuses. Like how much can I get these for? Because it's Forest, it's all chaos and like disaster and debacle and fracas and everything else. Like, but long may that continue. If we stay under the radar, so be it. If we can keep signing players of that quality with that hit rate, then fine. I'm more than fine with that.
Yeah, I mean, just to add on to Omar Mamadele, what I like about him is he's aggressive in the press and he can actually play. I mean, he annoyed Munoz into trying to almost say, well, like, do you want to go kind of thing? And I think Omar Mamadele probably said something in an Irish accent in a Forest told him to go for a jog or whatever, because he got nowhere near him, just probably emptying out his pockets today. So, you know, Reese, I'm going to give you someone who I think has also gone under the radar, but we have mentioned him. And I think his return to the team has been a hell of a difference in these last two games. And that's Ola Aina. I just think he's so good.
Yeah, I mean, for a free transfer, you can't really grumble, can't you? It was a shame. Obviously, he had a bit of an injury period, didn't he? And then obviously he went off to AFCON. But, I mean, that left side last night, as I said with Hudson-Odoi earlier, they just couldn't cope with it, Fulham, could they? And it kind of got back to the levels of, you know, towards the end before he got injured, what Tavares and Hudson-Odoi was doing together. Which was such a pacey left side. Now, you know, we all agree Harry Toffolo's a lovely bloke and I think Harry's a steady backup, but that is probably something he's not going to offer you, that out and out sheer pace. And when you've got like a left side of that quality in this league, it's just going to cause so many problems. It just reminded me of like how Brennan and Jed Spence was in the Championship, where most things are going down that side, aren't you? And then also, we've got another string to his bow that we've got Nico Williams in really good form, and obviously Anthony Alango's had a good season on the other side. So, yeah, I mean, for a free transfer, I think it's been a brilliant bit of business. And, you know, if we do stay in this league, I think we'd all agree we'd definitely offer him another deal. Was it 1 year? It was 1 year, wasn't it? He signed. I'm right in that. Yeah.
Yes, but I think you will. I'd be
maybe an extension. Yeah,
I'd be absolutely flabbergasted if we didn't. I'd be flabbergasted if we didn't explore that. Because what I really
if we stayed up, definitely.
What I really like about him is he's two-footed. You just don't know where he's going. He can use both feet so well and like so ambidextrous with it. It's really good. I've got a mate in the chat, Mason. He said he was really close to the pitch last night. He was in Lower Clough and he was saying Andy O was barking some right orders across the back four. And so he seemed like a born leader in that sense.
I mean, nobody understood him. If anyone's ever heard him talk, no one will have understood him.
I mean,
he's the most Irish bloke ever.
I mean, our back four is the start of quite a bad joke, isn't it? Like Nigerian, Brazilian, an Irishman and a Welshman. And then you've got a Belgian in goal. I mean, like, that must be a right. Great dinner table, in the cafeteria or whatever at Forest, if they ever sit together. We're moving on to Spurs, guys. They drew last night with West Ham, got a win at the weekend, albeit very late against Luton. Spurs seem to do that a lot this season, where they're they go into the last 5-10 minutes and then suddenly they end up winning. It's a bit annoying in that sense. And one of our former own is in hot form in Brennan Johnson. Scored yesterday. Got two assists at the weekend as well. He's got 5 goals and 7 assists actually this season, equaling Antti Elanga when we gave him so much flack. But he's in a far better side, so I expect them numbers to be a lot better at some point. But Spurs have this vulnerability about them where I feel like we might be able to explore that if we get it right. Christian, would you, first of all, keep the same side as we played last night, if all are available, obviously?
Yeah, if all are available, I think you're going to have to. Again, you just have to be fair with performance levels, don't you? Like, if people are bad, you take them out of the team. If they're not, you try and keep them in, and you have to try and get some sort of continuity going. And I think, unless barring someone was injured or seriously like flagging, then you have to try and go with the team that you've just put out. I mean, there's so much to go from, there's so much momentum to be gained from that, so it makes no sense to. I mean, you make a good point. I mean, before, they have been a little suspect. I mean, obviously, they went a goal down to Palace and had to come back there, and a goal down to Luton and had to come back there. Obviously, they got pegged back by West Ham. They should have lost that as well. Antonio had a great chance at 1-0, which he missed.
Yeah.
and really should have scored. I know West Ham generally raised their game to play Spurs anyway, but that would have been quite concerning for old Ange. So I don't think they're this like impenetrable force. Obviously, again, they've sort of had a bit of a Spursy moment because obviously Villa have got Man City today as we're recording. Like, they're likely to lose that, but they've only gained 1 point on Villa, which they would have seen as a massive missed opportunity. So I don't know. I think that there's definitely scope to get at them and find ways. Obviously, Nuno will have a big point to prove himself. Obviously, being full manager, they're obviously winning manager of the month in his first month and then being sacked a few weeks later. But yeah, I think it's maybe not as cut and shut as it seems, say, this time last week, for example. So, such is the nature of football. But yes, to answer your original point, I would stick with the same team if everyone's fit.
Yeah. Reece, I was going to say something about Tottenham Wolves went there and with a really depleted team and managed to get a result. Does that kind of give you a little bit of hope, or is that, do you think that was kind of a bit of a blip? And do you think Tottenham will probably, well, they're going to be favourites, aren't they? Let's face it. I'm not going to get ahead of steam or anything, but do you think where do you think their weaknesses lie, maybe?
No, not from just one win, because you know, that's very social media for us, isn't it? One win and we're the best team in the world, and one loss and we should be in the National League.
What did I say to you at half time? We're the best team in the league.
the reality is, you know, Tottenham are going to be favourites. They're at home. You know, they've had a really good season under Big Ange. You know, they play some really entertaining football. What Tottenham's weakness is for a side like us is they play with a really high line. Obviously, Romero and Van der Ven are their centre-half. Van der Ven has got a turn of pace, which is why they can play such a high line. So that is something with Hudson-Odoi and Elanga, if they're fit, especially Hudson-Odoi, if he's fit. And Elanga is something you could look at getting in behind, especially with the hothead that is Christian Romero at the back for him. So, it's going to be one of them. Look, if we can go there and get a result of any form, you know, if we went there and got a draw, it'd be a fabulous result, wouldn't it? Let's be honest. I think Brennan Johnson did limp off though last night, because I've got him in the FPL. I've seen he had the injury pending on this morning when I checked. So whether he'd be playing or not, hopefully he isn't, because like you said, Adam, he's on real form at the minute. But they've also got a lot of other good quality attacking players. So they'll rightly be favourites. Do I go there with optimism after yesterday? Of course, you've got to. But if we can go there and get a result of any kind, then I'd be delighted with that. And then that would put us in good stead for a home game against Wolves, where Wolves have had a brilliant season, but is a game where you think we've got to be trying to look to win this one.
Yeah. Lee, anything to add? I've kind of run out of questions in this sense, because, I mean, I know obviously the game got changed, and that's kind of a bit of like we're like a bit of a walking injury list sometimes. Yeah, you know, like Alaena looks like he's injured half the time, and Murillo likes to limp around, and obviously Hudson-Odoi. Do you think that game being brought forward by a day will change too much, or not really?
No, I don't think it will, to be honest. You mentioned injuries there. I don't think you're allowed to mention injuries unless you're in the top six or called Luton Town, I'm afraid.
Sorry.
So we'll have to quickly move on from that, unfortunately, Adam. But yeah, have I got anything to add? Just to touch on Reese's point, Johnson was put for interview after last night, and he said his knee, he just felt a whack on his knee, but he's expecting to be fine. Don't know. It's weird how football changes at this level. I think when you're in the Championship, a club like ours will always fancy going into any game being able to win. I think when you're in the Premier League, if you're in a bit of a rut, you kind of think we've got no chance of getting another point until the end of time. One win all of a sudden, though, and all of a sudden we're not bad in this league. And maybe we can go somewhere like Tottenham and, you know, cause a bit of a stir. So it's weird because after one win, I'm kind of looking forward to watching it now. So, yeah.
I think the one thing that Reece mentioned, I've actually just only realised I picked up on this, but they're high line. And I just remember now Matt Sell was absolutely thumping a ball over Newcastle's back line. And that could be definitely something to exploit with our pace out wide, especially. So I think that's sort of food for thought in our game plan, at least a little bit.
Yeah, I seem to remember, didn't Villa come to us when we beat them at home with a particularly high line? I think there was a goal that was it a goal or a chance that was chalked off or something by the linesman? And it was really tight, but it was like right close to the halfway line.
We were trying to break the lines, it was.
That's right, yeah. I thought it stuck in my head. But yeah, I think, like Reece alluded to, I think we've seen this season that teams have gone to Tottenham or played Tottenham and had some success with their high line. So I just hope we go with a game plan. I hope we go with a... If it's a game plan that we don't execute particularly well, but it's clear what it is, then I think supporters will kind of... It'd just be nice to go into a game and it maybe get beat, but at least we've had a bit of a go. We've had some chances. We might have missed some chances. But it would be nice to go to a big place and score first again, just to see what... I mean, I don't think the Tottenham game plan is going to change too much, whether it's 1-0, 2-0, 3-0. To them, to us, whether it's 0-0. I think Angie's very focused on attack, 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 isn't he? So it'd just be, I think it's a fascinating game all of a sudden because they're on the back of a draw. They went behind against Luton. I think their fans are kind of thinking they should be blowing teams away a little bit more. So yeah, I think it'll be a fascinating game. I just hope we're on the right side of a result, to be fair.
Yeah, I mean, I think with Spurs, They kind of know they're going to get in the Champions League barring an absolute bottle job, which they are capable of, obviously, because it's Spurs. So they're currently 9 points ahead of Man United in fifth and 2 points behind Villa. And now Villa are five and Villa obviously play City tonight. So it's an interesting kind of situation of like how they end their season. So but we'll go for some. Go on, Lee. Go on.
You do say that. Have you seen Tottenham's fixtures?
Tottenham's
fixtures. Right, yeah. They play us on Sunday. Then they play Newcastle away, City at home, Arsenal.
They don't play City at home. They've got us, Newcastle, Arsenal, Liverpool, Birmingham.
City's rearranged,
and then Sheffield United.
Yeah, they've still got Newcastle to play twice. Arsenal, yeah. Tottenham, City, Arsenal, Liverpool. I think that I don't actually think that'd be a bottle job if they didn't get in. I think that would you'd have to cut them a bit of slack if they didn't get in with that. I guess it all depends if we're going to get this fifth place for Champions League, I suppose, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's end the show with some predictions, Christian. Let's start with yourself.
Okay, it's weird how what 24 hours changes your opinion, isn't it?
I know. I'll be skipping around the casino later for work. Like, say we've.
I reckon I'm gonna be actually no. I mean, I tipped us to lose last against Fulham and we won, so maybe I should do that. But no, I think it's my head sort of saying we'll lose 2-1, but give it a real like fight. But I reckon we can maybe nick a point. So heart saying 1-1, head saying 2-1 loss. Hope my heart's right.
Right. Reese.
Can't believe you work at Mr. Burns Casino, mate. yeah, as we said, I mean, like Lee said, I mean, Ange Ball is just all-out attack into. Ironically, since they've played us, they've only kept one clean sheet in the Premier League, which was at Villa away. So they do concede goals. I mean, have you guys seen this week's Super Sunday? Because it is an absolute cracker, because it's Rangers, Celtic, United, Liverpool, and then us. So that'll be a nice day, hopefully. I'm literally on the same page as Christian. You know, with my head, you've got to fancy Tottenham with where they are in the league, they're at home, and with the quality of players we've got. I guess, like Lee said, Nuno will be wanting to make a point. So if I was to go in my head, I'd probably go for a narrow, like 2-1 defeat. But, you know, after last night, let's go for a 1-1 and we'll see. But yeah, it obviously wouldn't surprise me if Tottenham did win. But yeah, we'll see.
On to you, Lee.
Yeah, I'm going to be positive as well. I think it might be a draw. I don't really know. I've got no logic whatsoever. I think if they turn up, they probably will win. I don't know. I just think we'll have it. I think it was quite interesting that Nuno said last night that he was a little subdued in his. He's not quite the fist pumping manager that Cooper was. He knows he's got a remit, and his remit is to win football matches and keep us in this league. He won't be happy with one win. He'll want that to be a platform to kick on. I think it might slip under the radar a bit that he might have a bit of a point to prove at Tottenham, because he didn't get very long there, did he? He'll want to go there and get his players really fired up for it. So I'll go for a draw. I don't think we've quite got it in us to win. I can't go for 0-0 because we aren't keeping a clean sheet, are we? I'll go for 2-2. I think there'll be goals in it. I just think with how they play and how they set up, I think we will have some joy. So I'll go for 2-2.
Sci-fi monkey in the comments has put, if we play like that like last night, it'll be 5-5. I mean, I'd take 5-5 at this point. Reese, what do you want to say before I finish?
Yeah, just to caveat Lee's point with them conceding goals and us conceding goals, I mean, probably got 0-0 written all over it. I've just got to add that I just hope we don't go. I know we've come a long way since then, but I just hope we don't go like we did there last year when they was in a massive state of flux. The basic players had told Conte where to go, and we just went there and just absolutely. I know they had Harry Kane then, who's a sensational striker, but we just went there and absolutely rolled over for them. I hope we just don't do that again this time. I know, like we said, we've come a long way since then. I think the game after is when Conte set the place on fire with the Southampton interview. So, yeah, if we can go there and, you know, have a good account of ourselves, and, you know, if we do get narrowly beaten, at least go there and put up a fight, because last year was just simply didn't do that. And I know in the end it could have ended up 3-2, but you missed that penalty. But yeah, it was pretty disaster last year. So hopefully we can go there and put up a good fight at the least.
We've got the Kiwi game this year though, so I think we might be okay.
The Kiwi.
God, who would have thought that Chris Wood compared to Harry Kane? God.
I mean, his conversion rate is of what Harry Kane's would probably be in a similar ilk to. It just takes
at the end of the day, when you're giving play, you know, we're all fans who go to the games. You know, we're investing money in the club. When you give criticism as a fan, there's nothing better than them proving you wrong because of being successful for Nottingham Forest Football Club. And Chris Wood's a prime example of that. You know, I'd stick by what I said under Cooper. I didn't think he was good enough. You know, I think most people would have said, oh, that transfer fee is a waste of money. But under Nuno, I mean, he's been incredible. I mean, I can't believe it sometimes when I'm watching it. But yeah, fair play to him. It's brilliant to see.
Feed the wood and he'll fire. There's a bit of a pun there, if anyone knows how fires work. But yeah, my gut feeling is we'll probably lose, because I do think Tottenham are a really good side in this division, and how they play under Ange is like really exciting and entertaining. It must be fun to be a Tottenham fan again, similar to how it was under Pochettino. My head says we'll lose 2-1, but maybe give them a bit of a scare, similar to how we did against Arsenal, where we score a terrifyingly good counter-attacking goal or something like that. But I don't see why we can't get a result. They've lost to Fulham recently, 3-0 away, where they just lie down, and they lost to Wolves at home, where Wolves basically had, like, I don't know, like a 17-year-old up front or whatever, and Pablo Sarabia. So, you know, like an injury hit Wolves, went there and got a result. So I don't see why we can't, with the quality we've got. And that it is April, guys. Spring is coming, and we know what Forest do in spring. They just seem to flower and blossom. So we can all hope. But no, thank you very much for joining us on this on the pod. I know it's a bit of a weird one being in the mid afternoon and everyone's probably at work and or off for the Easter holidays and a lot of kids and whatnot. So do appreciate everyone taking time out to come and watch, but people can watch on the stream at another time. But for now, we'll see you for the review of the Tottenham game. Take care. Enjoy the rest of your weeks. Come on, your Reds.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on McDonald's app at participating restaurants. 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.